This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Hello and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. I was actually waiting on Kermit to play the joke of the music because he already told me his joke on the straight road. So I was waiting for him to transition and then he went to me. So I was a little off there. So forgive me. There you go. Now I'm ready to go. Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is December 28th, it's Wednesday, and we are continuing our
Mash Up Wednesday.
Yeah, I need to correct the right name for that.
I mean, Man Down is the correct name.
Man Down, yes. And I'm here with Aaron Green, of course, and we have our joint show, as usual, on Wednesdays. And we have the rundown of the top stories that happened in 2022, right? Yeah. But we want to finish Junkin' because we had a number of texts during that Junkin' line, and so we want to finish with that. And then we want to transition, and Aaron has written down a number of top and key events that happened. Because I want to talk about how come, as yet, to this day, at this present time, almost a year later after the politician supposedly knocked down the police, the commissioner of police has yet to come to the Bahamian people to say that it didn't happen. And despite promises us not once, not twice, but three blooming times that he's coming to the Bahamian public to conclude on the event. But the point is, he just don't care. And the next point is, we don't care. That's why he's able to get away with these things. But I'm going to digress now and turn it over to Aaron to read those last set of texts and then to talk about Junkin' and to also congratulate Kermit. Kermit has some awesome costumes that he worked on for that Boxing Day competition. And I'm looking at the pictures now and all you can see is they're breathtaking, man.
Yeah, so I would say congratulations to Kermit Ramming and the Immortals for first place, the best banner in the B category under the theme Bring Back the Good Old Days. And Kermit the EC, Junkin' Ooh stakeholders, he also assisted the One Family in pacing a piece. They came fifth in their piece, One Family. I tell you all, we got a Junkin' Ooh expert in the building. We got a Junkin' Ooh expert in the building. Congratulations to the Immortals, particularly on their first run out in the B group, right? Mm-hmm. And see, he's talking to Ian in the break. Y'all was talking about it's time for the colors to move up to the A group. Yeah. I want to say all groups are not in the B group because they ain't ready for the A group yet, or they've been, you know, they can't make it there yet. Some groups are in the B group because they want to be in the B group, right? Some Junkin' Oohs in that B division say, we see this as a feeder space, right? This is for new and young Junkin' Oohs to come into, learn the craft, learn the skills, learn the culture, the internal culture and the external, you know, holistic Junkin' Ooh culture. Learn before you move on. B group can be a very powerful space. It can operate outside of some of the politics that the competitiveness of the A group brings. And B group, B division may be the most exciting space in Junkin' Ooh. If we have stakeholders who have the time and are willing and have the resources available to them to organize and do things in that space. That's what Junkin' Ooh needs. And these are the important conversations. So I say thank you to all of the people who are ensuring that B groups, the B division survives, and the fun and the scrap groups survive as well. I think another point I want to make before we got to the end of the break is a very controversial one, Mr. Nuri. Mm-hmm. I think the Junkin' Ooh will go the way of unions if we don't become even more intentional.
What you mean by that? I'm listening to you now. What you mean to go the way by unions?
To go the way of unions.
Of unions. Go ahead.
It appears to me like there's a union to parliament pipeline. Like union leaders and members have focused on themselves as individuals and their individual unions to the detriment of the larger labor movement. and union space, right? And in doing that, they have put at risk the integrity and the sustainability of the labor movement itself.
But wasn't traditionally that they had labor leaders who step into politics to give access to labor, so they said?
I remember one, Randall Fox, and it appears as if he stood by his principles and didn't just play politics to get along. And that may have been ultimately a positive for the labor movement as a whole.
So are you talking about the former labor heads that become MPs, or are you talking about this new director of labor position?
All of them. I'm talking about the former union heads that somehow get jobs in government. I'm talking about those union heads that are surprisingly on a party's ballot come election. And then I'm talking about, in particular, those union heads that would leave the union to get a good government job to campaign for a party and for their own seat in the party while they still have the good government job.
Mm.
And so, if junker news are not intentional, even more intentional than they are about every single aspect and element of Junkanoo runs the risk of going the way of the unions.
And the union has, it looks like they're becoming obsolete.
The union has failed. I mean, if we look at the dynamics coming up during the pandemic, it's a failure. It's a disregard for workers' rights.
But you never even mentioned union busting. I think it's blatant what has happened is a union type busting was happening. And the union heads and the former union heads,
yeah,
who now turned director of labor, is watching the government union bust, and they're now celebrating it.
Now, that's on my list. It's not number one or number two or number three on my list, but it's way up at the top.
Well, let's start with that and then go back to
right. And it's not just this question of union busting, right? The question that was asked from when the PLP was in opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And they created a memorandum of understanding.
So you don't believe in a memorandum of understanding?
I don't believe in political machinations and negotiations while you're in opposition.
Mm.
Making promises.
But you cannot keep because you're in opposition, you mean?
A, you're not in a position to fulfill any of the promises at the very moment. It's a question of whether you're going to be the next government. It suggests that you are buying votes.
Yeah, it's definitely a tit-for-tat type thing, a quid pro exchange. Yeah. I will support you because you will support me.
Right, and why would you make them sign anything? Like, why would you make them sign it? Now, mind you, I've been telling people, like, approaching the 2017, like, I tell all kind of people, Romy Ferreira is a good environmentalist, but don't let him make you any promises that he can't sign on paper.
Hmm.
That's just the nature of the game, right? So I get that, but what a move. That's a powerful move.
So, I never even analyzed it that way. There was a contract, a bond, an agreement that the union could not break.
Well,
in essence, I put it in quotes now.
Yeah, I don't know if it was unbreakable, but it was an MOU, and it led members of the Congresses who didn't sign to make a public statement to indicate that they didn't sign and they weren't in agreement.
And then they get alienated, because I remember the union that did sign said, but y'all didn't even sign them. Y'all have no place to even comment on such things.
Yeah, it's a...
Like, it caused the unions to fight amongst themselves.
Yeah, it's a quagmire.
Yeah.
It's a mire of quags.
And then don't forget the issue where the government has concluded a union negotiation without the union even being present.
Yeah.
You know, to conclude, we will give you this. And don't mind that you don't have a bargaining agreement, but this is a conclusion.
Yeah.
You know, we ignoring you all. We ignoring your union altogether. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the unions stood by and just watched.
Yeah.
It doesn't bode well for unions in the future.
Well, at all.
Well, we have seen that from the hotels. The ones that didn't want any unions to be in this country, they found themselves to do whatever they feel like they want to do.
Look here. What? What as a firebomb, eh? As a firebomb. I one of the things I was going to have on my list is hotel negotiations. That could be one of the top stories of the year.
Definitely.
But I'd say it like this, because I wish the Bahamian people, like, if they had like an MP or somebody who would negotiate on their behalf,
mm-hmm,
the way the tourism workers negotiate for the tourism space.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the average Bahamian needs. Mm-hmm. Because, and this is a part of the discussion, what went down in the agreement signed during the pandemic with hotel owners
should have never happened.
all of these things.
Should have never happened.
But not necessarily never happened, though. I just need to know what it is. No, what had happened. Because I know things was tragic or drastic during that time. But at least let me know what happened. But
well, I think it was a major, I can't say breach because
there was a
technically it was done in law, right? But we had a major situation where some of the basic tenets of labor laws in the Bahamas were sort of flaunted. Like, we're not going to pay you, we're going to hold your money. And
okay. Now, what you saying now?
Wasn't there a bilateral agreement between the hotelian and the actual employers? Who they employed, the employees?
But what you mean by that? So I got to understand.
The persons that were employed for the hotel signed a contractual agreement with the hotel.
Yes.
The agreement said that if those persons were not only of or they weren't active in working within 30 days, then this wouldn't happen.
Yes.
That's an understanding.
And the prime minister in his power realized there was going to be a draw on the all of the hotels one time and that the Bahamas couldn't afford it. Then he made an executive decision. Whether it was emergency orders.
Should we be more concerned about the hotelian that coming to reap the benefits of the country or the people?
We're more concerned with tourism.
Okay, look at this.
Should we be more concerned about the tourism industry over all of... Yes, we should.
Should the hotelians not have money
enough? No, we're not talking about hotelians.
Yeah, we're talking about hotelians.
We're talking about tourism. Tourism was about to collapse. And imagine if tourism collapsed altogether.
You think it was going to collapse here?
Yeah, but
I can't see it.
We'd be bankrupt as a country.
I can't see
it. We still borrowing money and still need now to pay for what all happened.
Did the hotels have any money as an escrow? This is a good question.
I don't know.
They should have had money in escrow because the last time...
Why do you want to know their business?
I'm going
to
tell you why. It's the people's business. Because the reality of that is that a former hotelian leaving a bill here in the Bahamas from casino and to light bills. How is this possible? When your light bill is in res, they cut you off.
Well, we know.
I digress.
We know that in the Bahamas, only two entities pay their light bill and water bill in full, and they happen to be hotels. Imagine if you shut those two. All of the other things were to collapse at one time. And this was what we were facing at the time, saying, do we want the entire Bahamas collapse, or do we hold on and see how long this is going to last?
I think we ran too much of a talk show up here. That's my opinion. We had the Clico situation. They should have had money in escrows also.
Yeah.
But they decided to say they were going to leave this country, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
But it's your fault already made.
And I agree. But let's take it on the topic, because I know Aaron have a list, but I'll read this text. Said, good morning. There was Alfie Maycock, Clement Maynard, Clifford Darley, and Shane Gibson. We're all union or labor leaders who went into politics. And I just wanted to read that into the record. Merry Christmas, Mr. Nuri and Aaron. Mr. Nuri, can you ask Aaron when that lunch card expires that I won on her show last week, please?
It doesn't expire. It expires right after you pick up the lunch. As soon as you pick up the lunch, it expires.
But has a phone number on your ticket? Is there a phone number to contact the guest? The vendor?
Yeah, and the vendor's expecting them.
Yes. So call the vendor and confirm, I win, right? And I can't make it until, right? And can you extend it?
Yeah, well, right. There's no expiration date. You get one lunch, and whenever you get that, then it expires. And they're waiting for you. They have your contact information. I would go and or call them, give them your name and your cell phone number that you gave us.
Yeah.
And then you make arrangements and just let them know.
Good. So that's for the text there. But Aaron, I want to know, have you heard from the Commissioner of Police about the conclusion regarding JoBet Colby? I'm calling him. And she's my friend, you know. I'm mad at her. It's about principle here.
Yeah.
Did the Commissioner of Police, what the Commissioner of Police name now?
Fernanda.
Did Fernanda come to the Bahamian people to say that after his investigation, they have concluded that there was no accident and we have moved on from it? Has that happened as yet?
No, I don't think so.
And we have no problem with that, even though the Commissioner of Police came on TV, radio, 2-3 times to say that he's coming to us. He's going to report on it and conclude on it, and he has yet. Something is wrong with us as a people.
Absolutely something is wrong. I don't even know where the policeman is. I'm not even sure if we got his name in a public statement so we could go follow up with him.
I give up on that. In terms of competence inside the Bahamas, in terms of having accountability, I don't believe it's
You can't be like that. See,
I don't expect much from us.
As soon as you give up on competence and you don't expect much, then your paycheck must be commensurate with that.
Who?
This is a word to everybody.
I show up though.
I don't understand how professionals go to work.
The Guardian on time.
Professionals go to work, right? with all of the moral, the stature that comes with their sense of identity. They sit down and say things like, these people in this place so incompetent, right? Like, how we get anything done? But nobody's taking Slunker's pay. Everybody want to do Slunker's work, but nobody's willing to take Slunker's pay. We got to stop saying this. If you think that the thing is done, then stop taking the high level, high tier paycheck.
But make it better. You do what you're supposed to do, and you hold somebody accountable, like you're doing now. You're saying that there is a statement made, and then they said it will come at a certain time, and then you hold them to that. And you're saying on the radio now, you're saying that you're affiliated with Jobet. You know what? She's a pretty decent female.
This is not, the issue's not her, no. The issue is the commissioner of police.
Well, was an incident that took place.
Ms. Colby, Davis, already said that she didn't hit him. I cool with that, right? I cool with that. However, there was a claim. And there's supposed to be an investigation. The commissioner of police reported that he's going to come back to the Bahamian people.
And that
did not happen. And he did it more than once.
And that the Minister of National Security inserted himself in the situation would suggest that it's of the utmost priority that they bring clarity to it.
That the entire minister, something is wrong. Something is wrong with us.
And it ain't, listen, I can be honest with you, Cecil. It's not just that. I got another story on this list. I hope you will be able to.
While you look for that story, I read this text. A good day, Miss Green, and guests. I'm the guest now. The government of the Bahamas believe in union busting and destruction of workers' rights in the Bahamas. You looking for something there?
Yeah.
Hence, they hire union leaders to help them sabotage workers' rights. What an ungodly action against the people. From Grand Bahama, we are listening. Selah. And thank you very much, Grand Bahama, for listening. I'm concerned about unions. I'm concerned that we are on a road where unions no longer matters in the Bahamas. That the government have completely busted them to the point that they no longer have any strength, any.
But it's worse than that.
Momentum to make change at all.
They've created a collective work environment where workers feel that they don't have any rights. And as opposed to using the mechanisms that are available to them to seek justice in the workplace or what's considered the extended workplace, they get, they get frustrated, they get apathetic, they stop engaging fully because they're desperate for a job, but they also cannot tolerate the work environment and conditions that they're working in. You could imagine you working in a store and people coming into your store supposed to wear a mask, and then when you, according to the law, tell the people they're supposed to wear a mask, they rear up at you like they want to fight you. And our employers protecting employees in these environments and our unions demanding it. The unions have fallen off.
Whatever happened to Dotson Isaacs, the union lady?
Union to parliamentary pipeline.
Just disappear.
Yeah.
Dissolve.
I mean, they just go through that pipeline and you can't see them no more.
Well, that's how it is. What's our next topic, Aaron?
Okay, so traffic is a big one.
Go ahead.
I can tell you why. We had a traffic fatality on Christmas Eve, but it's worse than that. It appears as if there's a social conflict, right? It appears as if somebody brandished a weapon. And so what began as a traffic incident where a truck sort of got stuck and needed help navigating out of a space accidentally ends up hitting a pedestrian who is attempting to assist them. This is intolerable, right? Like, we just have to figure out how to moderate ourselves. In fact, I could read from the article from Our News. A man was struck by a box truck shortly after 12:30 p.m. in the area of Verbana Street and Peach Street. Superintendent Crystalline Skipping says after one resident brandished a firearm, the driver of the truck attempted to leave the area. Bang. We had a 5-car accident on Prince Charles Avenue, I think, on Christmas Eve. A 3-March mashup on Balfour and Mini Street on Christmas Eve. They had an accident at Johnson Road and Eastern Road Christmas night, right? I see a note ran into a light pole. Malcolm Road, Boxing Day, they had no power because somebody hit a light pole with their car. All of that being said, right, the big traffic story is not just the number of traffic fatalities, not just the seeming disregard for the escalation in traffic fatalities and bad driving. This story, left turns on traffic lights cracked down. Mm. Officer in charge of the traffic division, Chief Superintendent David Lockhart, spoke to reporters on the issue while on the scene of the latest traffic fatality in New Providence. He said, quote, "The law is designed in a way that you're only allowed to turn left where there are signs posted. I know that there is only one sign posted, which is on University Boulevard and University Commons. That situation is being addressed from the Ministry of Works, and shortly you are going to see signs posted telling you areas where you should not turn left." This is an important story. I think this may be the story of the year. Remember, earlier in the year, I told people, look here, if you hit my car, I'm suing everybody in the Bahamas, from the prime minister, the secretary to the cabinet, straight down to the janitor in the Ministry of National Security and the Ministry of Housing and Transport. And this story is why. So they're telling me that the law was gazetted in July 2019, and 3.5 years later, you just realized that in all of your public communications about turn left on red, you ain't never told anybody that they could only do it where there's a sign present?
Incompetent police. But it's continuing that narrative, right, that something is wrong with our police.
But the problem is they're going to have a difficult time. In fact, good, sensible, right-thinking people don't believe me when I tell them they can't turn left on red.
Especially how we go to the United States and turn right on the right.
Let's just look at it from that perspective. Let's look at it that the Ministry of Works that was responsible to put the signs up after 3 years. You only have one sign?
No one reminded them. The police didn't remind them. The police on the court. I was driving right by, what is that? That's NIB. That's NIB going on to Blue Hill Road.
Uh-huh.
And the truck. The police in front of me, and he turned left and went on a red light. And I said, see, this is the type of
country
you live
in. I can tell you who I'm most mad at. The insurance industry. See, last week I was talking about gangs. There were all kinds of gangs in this country. But that was another conversation. The insurance industry should have stepped up and said, hey, this is obviously not good. This is obviously not making sense. My clients deserve more. Why won't anybody assume a greater duty of care than is written in law? Why won't Bahamians do what they know they ought to do when they know they ought to do it? And why won't they do the things that are commensurate with their paychecks?
But the truth
y'all know who I'm talking
the
about.
The reason why is because everyone understands the law makes sense. It has, and one of the better laws that has been passed in the history of recent history.
Right,
the law makes sense,
except nobody actually said what the law was publicly. In the article in 2019, an Eyewitness News article with statements from the minister, he never indicated that the sign must be present. If he did, the reporters covering the story never covered that part of the story. Not one individual that I have heard or seen in all of the research I've been doing in the last 2 years has said you can only turn left on red where there's a sign present. Mm. This is a major indicator of the status of systems in this country.
I have a text that says, Aaron, I hope you get to talk about the unnecessary traffic fatalities that happen on our streets this year. Please, Aaron, let's talk for greater police presence to manage the streets, to ticket unruly drivers, and to enforce the law before more people die. Some police need to stop breaking traffic laws, too.
Absolutely, right? First of all, it's a 24/7 job. You don't just man the police when you're doing roadblock and you want to lock people up. It's about a constant police presence. That's what it is. Dear Texter, I'm talking about it. People refuse to moderate their behavior. Big, sensible people are on their phone. In fact, we were driving today on Nassau Street coming to the Guardian. The woman stopped her car in the front of the superwash. She's on her phone. She stopped for about 10 seconds. Getting herself together. And the worst part is this. Y'all will beat children for the silliest of things. Y'all will beat and knock children up in their head for the silliest of things. And y'all around here just driving your car like you don't have any sense.
Anyway, we have a caller here, and you can't be beating adults, though. You can beat children.
No, you can't beat children.
You can't beat children? Don't tell that to my... Anyway, go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Regarding the labor matter, I think it's a deviation from the Linden's blueprint.
Yes.
That every industry, every department of the working class should be unionized.
Yes, sir.
And it should be functional. It shouldn't be stolen by higher powers. Yes. So regarding the turning and left, the road should have provision to turn and left. If it's a single lane, let's say a two-lane dual carriageway,
mm-hmm.
one, you only have one lane, then there's no provision to actually turn and left because the person in front of you may be going right. So how can you get left?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think at this point in time they should be saying that you need to see a sign, because we have already let the cattle out of the pen. So how could we reverse that? I think we should be allowed to turn left on red, but there should be a lane provided for it. If there's no lane provided for it, then you have to wait your turn. And there's also the traffic must be cleared. The space must be there for you to turn.
Yes,
you don't have a right per se.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And so we're talking about sort of two separate things, right? We're talking about people who just refuse to drive with sense. People who are forcing their way into oncoming traffic. People right. who are overtaking eight cars to turn left on red. Right? That's different from the issue at hand. And the issue at hand is that the law itself says that you can only turn left where there is a sign indicating you could turn left. The police said they're going to crack down. Don't get a ticket. Don't get a ticket because you feel like this is the way it should be done.
Mm-hmm.
Organize. Make a public statement. Let your MP know. Call every radio station. Let them know. Change the law or fix the road.
Go ahead, Ian, before I go to the corner.
I feel like people rule better when they live outside of their jurisdictions. Because behemoths do rule when they go to the U.S. or other places like that in terms of respecting the traffic laws, etc. I do believe that the police should enforce the law more often, like you're saying, like these lights and so forth. I do believe that it solely falls in the lap also of those behemoths that are driving. They have to drive with a care and understanding that vehicles do kill people. And I believe if they have an understanding of that, I think that they start to take things a little bit differently.
Okay, let's go to this next caller. Aaron, you have my next topic to talk about. Go ahead, caller. Sorry, hang up there. So go straight to your next topic. What's trending inside?
All right. I think top story of the year is the status of the safety of children.
Okay, but let's talk about that so we can introduce him.
So I was just looking at a long list of child deaths due to either negligence, reckless behavior, and in some instances, we haven't determined if it was more than that, right?
You have any specifics?
Yeah, man. So we have the death of 4-year-old Donya Bella Walker.
Remember that?
We have the death of Devania Butler, who was tragically killed on the swing set.
Oh, we haven't heard anything about that. We just heard that the swing set fall down on them is on a church property and then silence.
We haven't heard anything from the church or from the legal team. Quentin Danny McKenzie, 13-year-old LW young student who was shot on the park, like he may have been a bystander, mm-hmm. may have been hit by stray bullets. 4-year-old Kenton Seymour Jr., who was shot. He was in the car with his parents. He got hit by stray bullets.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, I'm reading from the article, 3 die in separate suspected drownings. That's a Guardian article because I can't identify the children themselves. But in one incident, the body of a boy... police found his body on Grand Bahama, and they pulled him from waters around Deadman's Reef. And in the second incident, the body of a boy was discovered partially submerged.
It was too many drowning of young people this year.
Then there's a teen victim in suspected drowning in Seabreeze Canal. That young boy was apparently 13 to 14. The child before that was 10 to 12 years old, and that's not the entirety of the list of children.
And the little boy that drowned, and the mother didn't even know he was missing for a whole three, four days
more likely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the yellow elder drowning.
Mm-hmm. But let's go to the caller. Caller, can you hear us? Mash down, where is it? Oh, hang up again. Sorry about that, caller. I know you were waiting for a while. But continue, Aaron. I find that there needs to be a better conversation about protecting our kids, particularly those who can't swim. But I see you calling you back on again, but go ahead.
Well, good morning, CA and Darren.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Graham.
You know, I don't want to say we're lawless, because we have more laws than any country in the world, but we're law enforcement-less. You know, the road thing is a real issue. Aaron, we have to first fix the roads before we can start enforcing some of the laws. Because you swerving and hitting my car coming out of your lane. So So who gets charged?
Now, look here, Graham. You don't drive no car, and I want to say this to you. You got to be careful on your scooter. You cannot be out here breaking these traffic laws. You guys maintain that lane. No tight lanes for scooters. These people out here driving crazy, Graham.
I'm in my lane. I'm just on the far right side
of it. You can't be on the far right side with another vehicle in the lane at the same time. That's all I'm saying. Be safe,
I appreciate
Graham.
That. Aaron.
Yeah.
Allow me, as I've had 130 motorcycles, scooters, been riding from very young, to head up the division of motorcycle cops. I will pay off your national debt. The police that are working with me, we would not need a paycheck. Give us 40% of every ticket. Put body cameras on us.
No, you can't do that.
Put cameras on the lamp pole.
We can put cameras on you.
So you're putting us on commission like an insurance agent?
Yeah, we can't do that. That's a problem.
Well, we need to because...
I can pay you.
There's no incentive there. See, if you don't pay me, then it's an incentive for me to meet a quota. But there's a camera on me to see my conduct. There's a camera on the lamp pole to make sure that you did commit the offense. But we're not just getting the people running the lights and doing craziness, you know. If your car, taillight not working, headlight not working, anything wrong with your car, we are booking you for all the offenses. I would pay off this national debt. So if we're serious, see, that's what Mayor Giuliani did in New York. Anyone jumping over the rail to get into the subway, you start with the small offenses. But I don't know. I think we're doing pretty good the way we is.
But look here, Graham.
I want to wish everybody a Happy New Year and a Merry Christmas. You know, only other solution, Aaron, is buy a truck. Because you're going to need one soon. But then the gas is be a little expensive.
Graham, look here. I was about to send you to Abaco for New Year's, but I don't know where you're from. So I can't quite do that.
I'm from Abaco and Spanish Wells for over 400 years. Now I can do you a favor. I can cut myself. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Graham. Have a great day.
I know we have another topic right there, right? We're following up what Graham is saying. With the roads being so bad.
Yeah.
Does the government owe us a duty of care in terms of our cars being damaged?
Yes, they do. They also.
And how come behemoths don't do no class action suits? Something.
But because we were talking about gangs.
Yeah.
The legal fraternity is a very, very fascinating space. There is a duty of care, right? The roads must be maintained to a certain level. The government must acknowledge the negative impact of bad roads, right, on our bodies, on our businesses, on the movement of goods and services and people, without a doubt. Now, when it comes to these accidents, are bad roads a contributory factor? I am sure bad roads are a contributory factor, right? The government has a duty of care to ensure that, like, this whole get your car inspected once a year and you just ride through and we look at the lights and we look at the signals and that's not sufficient. The government has a duty of care to provide inspectors to ensure that road users are on the road with other vehicles that are safe for the road. All of these things the government can be responsible for. You got to deal with them before you get into the Rawson Square seats. That's what we need, before you get into the Rawson Square seats.
But anyway, we're going to take a quick break right now. This has been Guy and Radio the AM with On the Clock with Aaron Green. We're going to be right back, and you'll be here with Ian Munnings as we celebrate and do the countdown to New Year's Day and the top stories. But we'll be right back after this brief message.
K.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. K.S. Johnson Insurance passed the test. Always, you're always covered me. J.S.J. K.S. Johnson Insurance.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And Welcome back to Guided Radio in the AM. And something Aaron was reading to me on the break, right? We reading statements said by politicians during the last year. And this one stuck out to me. And I said, no, that wasn't said. And Aaron said, no, she sure, the minister said this. And I said, no, read it, Aaron. Because the people need to remember that these things were uttered by our politicians. So go ahead, Aaron.
Absolutely. So this is an article from The Guardian. Munro, excessive sentence in sex case. If it's not The Guardian, it's Eyewitness News. It's a local paper. Following public outrage after a 40-year-old man was sentenced to 4 years in prison after impregnating a 14-year-old schoolgirl, Minister of National Security Wayne Munro said yesterday the perpetrator should have received a lesser sentence because the victim willingly had sex with him, despite her being under the age of consent. When challenged that the victim could not have consented because she was under the age of consent, Munro claimed that the victim was able to consent since she was 7 years old. But her consent, quote, does not matter, close quote, until she is 16. Section 11 of the Sexual Offenses Act states that any person who has unlawful sexual intercourse or attempts to have unlawful sexual intercourse with a person between 14 and 16 is liable to life in prison. That's pulled from that article, Munro, excessive sentence in sex case.
Repeat the piece when you said a 7-year-old can give consent.
Munro claimed that the victim was able to consent since she was 7 years old, but her consent, quote, does not matter, close quote, until she is 16. And I think, okay, the reason why I think this is a top story is because, first of all, he's not resigned as of yet.
He's still there.
He did not do the honorable thing and fire himself. It is abhorrent, the idea that a 7-year-old can consent to sex.
Utter foolishness.
He's still there.
How is it that a 7-year-old is sufficiently aware of what sex is and what it requires to consent?
A child. That's utter foolishness. And to be in the position that you're in, to say something like that,
Aaron,
out of the sword,
he's still there.
Utter foolishness.
Yeah, he's still there.
He's still there. That's my point. He's still there. Ain't him anymore. I believe he could say anything.
I don't know. And then I'm trying to figure out, listen.
It's us.
I had one story here. And
the
I don't
problem
know,
is still us.
I don't know if I wrote it down, right? But Rodney Moncur was appointed as a crime interpreter in the same year as well. And I'm wondering if he had resigned, as he ought to have done, would Rodney Moncur have been appointed as a crime interpreter? And as he is still there, why he didn't interpret that as violence and tell his friend he got to resign?
Aaron, it ain't them, it's us. It's us. But we have another caller here. Pass the caller through there. Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon, buddy. How are you doing?
Radio man, just listen to what Aaron said and get in
front of you. Happy New Year. Aaron, how you doing?
Good. How you do?
You see, I listen to you guys, right? And I can try to take my time and speak slowly. See, and this is why I keep telling you young guys who are the Florida State and the 1973 beams, I call you. See, I born God, say the Queen. It's what we call amendment. Even the great United States of America, it's a man. Britain, those first world countries are men laws. See, that's why I tell you, we need to get rid of the Moses School. They're destroying our country. And it's so mind-boggling. And these places would be smart people, you know, these lawyers and these so-called smart people, they don't want to fix the country. But guess what can happen in short order? The young people can run them out the way. They can start getting disrespected because they are the problem. They are the problem in our beautiful country. They want to fix the country. Everything is designed so they can make money. They go in parliament, they do laws, pass laws, so they can make money and stuff. See, and that's part of the problem of the country. But see, I call myself the fifth estate. And the fifth estate is pushing like myself. The question you're scared to ask, I will ask.
Mm-hmm.
And when I speak, I be speaking for a lot of people in this country. I be speaking for a lot of people in our beautiful country. The Bahamas is not a poor country. Just bad management on both governments. They were never spending money. They can't really spend the taxpayers' money.
Mm-hmm.
These foreign companies come in our country, taking business things, and I can play with these people. And I can go on and on and on. But thank God for John Canoe, and congratulations to the Run family for winning the parade.
Absolutely.
Go on.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Just a note.
Correct.
Another big story is not just the BPL fuel surcharge increase. It's that IRCA came to us after the government announced the increase, mm-hmm, and began implementing it on the billing cycle to tell us that they're going to review the proposal to make the increase. And then I show her after the first billing cycle was sent out, Oika come back to tell us, oh, we think their proposal is fine. It's great. It's great.
But wouldn't the proposal have to be done before you implement the pricing on it?
It'd have to be approved.
Yeah, yeah.
Before.
Ain't them a no. It's us, Aaron. It's us. Then we have another caller here. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. If my memory serves me correct, right, mm-hmm. there's no such thing as a turn right sign in the United States. You know, it's just give way. There's not a sign that gives way, I don't think. You know, so just give way, you know. So, yeah. You know, there's such thing as just left turn, visit sign. That in itself is a terrible law. And with the fatalities, right, I feel that we need some statistics on how many fatalities happen, what percentage happens at night, because our roads and environments are poor, extremely poorly lit, especially the highways outside of that JFK. The only one that's lit is the JFK one.
And it's not lit. I'm glad you said that, because major portions of it are not lit. But see,
we have roads without reflectors. Come on. If you have a road that is not, you know, the highways in the U.S., some of them, they're not lit, but then they got reflectors on the street. You know what I'm saying? Where are the reflectors?
Where?
Not pink reflectors for night. Thank you.
Absolutely.
My 5 cents, Aaron, is this. If the people are going to be forced to pay the government license to license their vehicles, and they have to pay to have their license renewed and up to date, I think that there has to be some enforcement on the agency that is responsible for ensuring that those things that it's operating is operational, like the roads, like we explained. If the roads are doing bad, one place we know occupies to do that. We know that the lighting is bad. We know there is a place that does that. See, there has to be accountability in these things. You cannot then say, I'm going to further inflict taxes, et cetera, on the people, yet you can't do
but
the basic
but
things.
But these people keep voting them back in, despite the fact that they keep... boy, look here, I think Parang is a Trinidad. It's a federation. That's what it is. It's a federation. Post so a federation in Caribbean parlance, right, is a confusion. It's a combustion, right? And that's what we have right here. We have a federation. I want to say good morning to all of my older Bahamians that have Caribbean roots and know what that means. But that's exactly what the people bring to us, the politicians bring to us, a federation. I see we got a caller on the line. As we go into that caller, let me hit this list out, Cecil. See the caller right there, man. Good morning, caller.
Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. Was that a gentleman's name?
Mr. Ian Munnings.
Mr. Munnings?
Yes.
Oh, 2 points. One is on traffic. I've looked at the 2001 road traffic regulations, and that speaks to putting up signs. But it's nonsensical for the government, for the police to talk about. They have to put up signs to tell you to turn left, when all they need to do is put up signs to tell you not to turn at a certain point, because I'm sure there are more roads where you can't turn left on the red light.
That makes sense.
There should be very few of those turns available in Nassau. Because I don't understand the point that they're making, that they have to enforce the turning laws because there's no sign up anywhere. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's only because, listen, it's because the law itself says that you can only turn where there's a sign present.
Does the law actually say that?
Yes, I read it. That's what the law says. The law says that you can only turn where there's a sign present indicating that you can turn left.
Well, that's
on
a stupid
red.
Law then. That's a stupid law then.
There you go. There you go.
All right. But the point about the... Mr. Munro said.
Munnings.
No, Munro.
Munro.
Yeah.
I think that explains a lot why there are so many pedophiles in this country, and why when they implemented the law where it said the sex offenders registry.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reason why they didn't go back and make that retroactive for whenever is because they're protecting too many people.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to say something that stupid out in public. Shows that there are too many pedophiles, especially up high ups in the country.
Yes, sir.
I like to listen.
Thank you very much, caller. In fact, look here, there's culture in this place. There's communities in this place that say things like, we don't ask their age, we ask their weight. They don't care how old you are. Just once you look like a woman, then you are available for sexual access. That's culture in this town. And that's why it's dangerous for MPs and cabinet ministers and ministers of national security.
No, I want you to read for your list so we can go to the call to the next call.
All right, so here is the short list. I'm going to add more as we go. We'll get to the bottom of it. Forbes Smith's 16,000 generator sale to GBPA subject to DRA probe. I think that's a top story. Another top story. The domes. The domes in Abaco, DRA won't pay Brickell anything more for dome project. It turns out the company only erected 34 of the 213 domes it committed to installing, and they were asking for $1.1 million out of the $6.4 million contract. Another story. Well, this is just my question. Where is the Immovable Properties Act? It's not quite a story, but I realized that if we knew where the Immovable Properties Act was, then many of these stories wouldn't be stories. Again, the BPL fuel surcharge increase. World Expo Dubai delegation and the traveling OPM. That's the whole office of the Prime Minister. Another big story, carbon monoxide killed American visitors. The three tourists that died in Exuma. Adelaide Pines and Liberated African Way. I think that's a big, big, big story. And we're going to keep on it. The Bahamas Taxi Cab Union retirement scheme. We touched on it, but not that part of it. That's a big story. Mm. How is it that the Taxi Cab Union, one of the most powerful, formerly most powerful unions in the country.
Keyword is formerly.
Right. Could tell me that they renting cars from their retired members to their young members who can't afford cars, and they renting plates to that same person from their members who have plates but don't have cars to drive or don't have the time to drive them. Mm-hmm. And they can call it an employment, a retirement employment
Something
scheme.
Wrong. They have us for fool.
For goons.
Yeah, for goons.
That's just ridiculous.
We have another caller here. Let's pass the caller through. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Nui.
How you doing, man?
You know, I wanted to make two quick comments because I can't believe what I'm hearing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the last caller, yeah, I love what he was saying. He's totally correct. It is a stupid law. I like to use another word, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I was on the traffic the other day, and it was Prince Charles and Sojourn, I guess. And so, you know, there's a left turning lane. But I used to live in the States a lot, be there a lot. So I know that even if there's a free lane, that's what it should be called. It's only a free lane if there's no oncoming traffic. So it doesn't matter what color the light is. If the person, once nobody's oncoming, because when you in the States, they drive on the right.
Mm-hmm.
So if nobody was coming, then you would be allowed to go. So it was designed to reduce traffic and fuel consumption.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually green if you allow people to turn on the free lane when there's no oncoming traffic. So the problem was, like you said, the public relations. Because
mm-hmm.
the person in the back of me was blowing for me to turn, but I had to open the door and let the fool know oncoming traffic is coming. So he, in his mindlessness, thinking that you're just supposed to just turn
mm-hmm.
without having any concern. So, you know, this is poor PR. They shouldn't have to change no law, man. It's a free lane. If there's no oncoming traffic, you turn left or you turn right. In the States, they drive on the right. Yeah, we drive on the left. And as it relates to the 7-year-old, you know, obviously it can't be consent because I'd have to repent. Have a good one.
Yes, sir. And all right-thinking adults understand that. All right-thinking adults understand that. That a 7-year-old should not know what the dynamics of sex are to be able to consent. Another story that I think should be on the list. Eleuthera water and electricity crisis.
And I hear you, Aaron.
Yeah.
And that is worthy to discuss. So maybe even do it tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll make some time for that, right? But the other day we had an oil spill.
Exuma right? oil spill.
And we cleaned it up. And they said someone's supposed to pay for it.
Yeah.
And to this day, they said the problem scan. They said Bahamians, we're going to come and we're going to make sure these people pay for the oil spill and we're going to come back to you. And months later, nothing.
I think they're busy negotiating rights to the sun.
But and the thing is, they said they're a government of accountability and open-mindedness, whatever it is, and it's not happening. Yeah. It is not happening, and Bahamians are so short-minded in terms of have short memories. We allowing these things to happen to us, and no one holding any, holding our government to accountability. Say, hey, even though you're much better than them last set, the things that you promise that she's going to do, you're not doing, and we're going to hold you accountable for it.
Absolutely. Now, I think two stories we may talk about, at least one of them we may talk about tomorrow, two big stories, and people may say that one or two of these are the biggest stories for the Bahamas for the year, right? The first is the rise and fall of SPF and FTX, right? There's both implications globally and locally, major. Teachable moments, learning lessons, right?
Isn't that a Perry Christie word? This is a teachable moment.
Did I make myself pelucidly clear?
There you go. That sounds like Perry Christie.
Yeah, sounds like them say. Yeah. But the second one is this.
Pelucidly clear.
Is the assassination of the Haitian president, Moïse.
Okay.
And the subsequent exponential increase in smuggling, human smuggling and trafficking to and through the Bahamas. I think that's a big, big story for the year. And that is my short list. For the moment, Mr. Newry, I think, like, if you let me, I have some more notes.
We have tomorrow.
Yeah, we got tomorrow.
We have tomorrow at 11.
But I think the status of children, I think, although there are big political issues, there are big economic issues, I think the most important issues are still citizen security issues. The status of children in particular, the status of women and children, gang violence, gun violence, the homicide count, traffic fatalities, and the risk of death that people encounter just going about their regular lives.
And before we move on, because I know we have a couple more minutes, I want to commend Ian Munnings, who's our guest here, for his work, what he's been doing in his community and by large with children. I just want to physically tell you that and publicly say that to you. I've seen what you've been doing. I've seen what you've been volunteering in. And even as you are a political advocate and a social advocate, I see you make time out to help people. I just wanted to commend you for that whilst I'm on air and as a member.
Thank you
very much. Yeah, man.
Man, absolutely. And that's what it takes. The same thing like with junk canoe. The part of this conversation is saying to Bahamians, you don't have to be a junk canoe to consider yourself a stakeholder in junk canoe, to consider junk canoe important enough for you to contribute to its development.
We need to have a junk canoe show, but a junk canoe debate. Like, ask you and me, Aaron, again to junk canoe committee and to explain where junk canoe should be going. Because I think we need to challenge them. I think that they have junk canoe belonging to them, and they own that aspect of culture, and they have declared it as the official culture of the Bahamas without living to the mandate of what junk canoe should be or and how it impacts the wider audience. Or the wider
That'll be a good show.
And to the detriment of junk canoe, you know, I think that they should be open to this level of critique, trusting that there's Bahamians, and Bahamians are only critiquing for the benefit of the whole.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I'm looking at the shelters that should be built or something that we should have had for the battered women. We forgot about that.
Yeah, we forgot about it.
There's only so much I could run hot about on one session, but absolutely the status of women.
And
in that is a heavy critique on women as well as men. Because they are women. We love these men. These men are going to help us when we ask them for their help, but we don't need them to take care of other women.
But there is another thing that is taxing also, is because we know there are global changes that is happening in terms of the web, and the Bahamas is subjected to the global change. We know that we had Matthew and these other hurricanes, and we saw the effects of those hurricanes even to the islands. My thing is that if Nassau is the hub or the sheltered one, wouldn't it be like what we had during the Matthew situation? Persons came up to Nassau, and we had people in tents by the stadium. We had people in the stadiums, etc. Wouldn't we have an agency to activate prior from something happening? Let's pre-plan something and have a shelter that is available when something happens, because we know something will happen.
I want to put up this bet, Aaron. I believe I'm willing to bet you $50, you and Ian, that before January 1st comes, the PLP still wouldn't pay us for that trip to Bermuda. You know, they still owe us. They say they can pay.
And now you want me or you?
I'm trying to say, I want to take the bet. I'm sure they won't pay us the money.
Now you want me.
We can never hear about that no more. That's finished with.
There's some contractors.
That girl like with the Joe Bett Kobe knocking down police thing. That's just right off.
There's some contractors who didn't get paid yet. So I look at it somewhere between March, April.
They can never come back and say, well, we finished paying you all.
Producer.
Finish talking away. Run the music.
Run the Immortals.
The Immortals now. Not one family. The Immortals. If you don't have any Immortals, let us talk till it ends. You know, see, that, watch me vex him now. See, he can't play it. No music there. You only have one family today.
Yeah,
see? Quiet. Watch
my producer say, y'all ain't even real Junkanoo.
Watch him. He looking hard. Don't play no other Junkanoo group besides the Immortals, or you can't play it. Go ahead.
Congratulations to one family, to Androsia Muffin Fernanda, to the music makers, to the Valley Boys, of course, for securing second place after they forsook us and left us and didn't tell us when they was coming back, to the Genesis for a grand showing. To Roots, you brought 8 million, but you only took 6 million back home with you. Saxons and all things, give God thanks. Fifth place is better than 17th.
And the bird we're still looking for.
And the immortals, congratulations. And to Kermit Ramming, perhaps the greatest Junkanooer outside of Spirit and the Pigs and the Methuselahs and Vola, we say thank you. Thank you.